Have you ever felt isolated and alone? Have you ever felt quite powerless and weak? Have you ever wondered, is there any future for my life? If you've felt that way, there's a message of hope for you in a powerful painting. Welcome to the Master's Brush, another in a series of programs here in Nathan Green's art studio featuring the impact of Christian art on our lives today. Nathan, the painting that we're discussing in this particular episode is a painting called The Rescue. I notice it's a different technique than some of the oil paintings that we've talked about in previous episodes.
Yes, it is. This is a watercolors, and I'm really not known for doing watercolors, but that's really my favorite medium. When I was a student at the American Academy of Art in Chicago, watercolors was something I really enjoyed, and I had a tremendous instructor, Irv Shapiro, who taught me everything he knew. He has since passed away, but he was one of the top watercolorists in the country. But when I got out of art school, I found that art directors didn't want the softer, more impressionistic feel of watercolors. They wanted strong, bold contrasts and rich colors. So I quickly learned that oils were the better medium to use.
How is it different painting a watercolor painting than an oil painting?
Watercolors can be much more quick and spontaneous, but I call it, any artist would recognize this feeling, painting by the seat of your pants. I mean, it's very direct. Anything white, you are basically leaving the paper white. It's not, the purist would not paint with white paint. That's not allowed, you know. So I paint very direct. Lots of accidents happen because colors flow together and pigments flow together. Hopefully they're happy accidents, not bad ones.
When I look at this painting, The Rescue, I think about your passion for authenticity. How did you stage this painting? What's kind of the background of its development?
Well, my studio here, as you know, is in the midst of apple orchards. I have 13 acres here, and some of it is still in apples. And when we took out the apple trees where my studio is built, we ended up with a pile of apple stumps. So this was actually posed right outside my studio on top of a pile of apple stumps. I extrapolated the kind of interesting forms of things so they don't really look like apples, but that's where it was.
I think you're the first painter that I've ever seen paint lambs black. Are there really black lambs?
Oh, yes. You know, this is the whole idea of putting black lambs in a painting was, for me, was inspired by my father-in-law. He is a sheep farmer, and he raises Suffolk sheep, which is an English breed. And Suffolks, when they're babies, they're cute as all get out, but they're black. They're all black if they're purebred. As they mature, the body becomes kind of a malt-o-meal color, but the head and the legs stay black.
The black lamb symbol in the painting represents what?
Well, you know, we've all heard the symbolism of the black sheep of the family, the one that feels like, you know, they're always doing the wrong thing. And I know that there have been many depictions of Jesus holding a white sheep or a white lamb, but I've never seen one holding a black lamb. And the symbolism is so significant to so many people. Many people identify with being the black sheep.
There is a story from a chaplain at Loma Linda University that's quite moving about the impact that the black lamb symbolism had on an individual right there in that hospital.
Yeah.
Let's look at it.
I'd like to hear it.
Hendrick, one of our chaplains, was traveling through the lobby, and he noticed this man, probably in his mid-30s, was standing next to this painting, the painting The Black Sheep. And he noticed that the gentleman was very emotional, so Hendrick kind of worked his way up next to him and just asked the question, "May I help you?" And the young man turned to Hendrick and pointed to the picture, and he said, "I am that black sheep." He said, I'm in my mid-30s, but I've messed my life up. I've made horrible mistakes. I've lost my wife and my little girl. I've lost my friends, and there were times that I felt so terribly alone. And he said, I can't tell you exactly how it happened, but somewhere in this story, Jesus spoke to my heart. And he said, no, it wasn't an audible voice, but he sent a message to me, and it was as clear as day. And he said, it came in three parts. One is that I love you, I forgive you, and I want you to come and follow me. And he said, ever since that time, Chaplain, Christ has been carrying me on his shoulders through life. And life has been a fantastic journey. He said, but now that I'm on this side of Christ's ministry to me, I think a lot clearer. And I look around me and I see a lot of brokenness. Brokenness with my friends, brokenness with people that I don't even know. And to me, it brings a certain amount of peace and comfort to know that Christ is still carrying the black sheep of today.
You may have felt like that black sheep, yet Christ reaches out to you today to give you hope and encouragement. The symbolism of this painting really reveals Jesus in so many different ways. Nathan, walk us through the painting. Take us through symbol by symbol and how those symbols communicate hope.
Yes. Well, you'll notice in the painting the deep cavern. I mean, this is this deep valley between cliffs. And it's maybe the most awkward place this black sheep could have wandered into. And here's the shepherd who's left the other flock and gone after him and perhaps risking his own life and health and limb to reach down and rescue that lamb. So the depth of the cavern, the steep cavern, is part of the symbolism. Notice that the waterfall in the background is there and it's flowing down behind, but almost on the head of that black lamb. To me, this is a symbol of the living waters that God has promised and Jesus promised in the Gospels. The rich blue sky kind of is, to me, it symbolizes hope when you see clouds breaking away in intense blue color. I call this a Maxfield Parrish sky for art historians. Maxfield Parrish was an illustrator who painted these intensely, intensely bright, colorful skies. And then, of course, the strong masculine figure of Jesus as a shepherd.
The hands of Christ are quite remarkable in this painting.
Yes.
When you look at the hands, they really communicate strength as well.
Yes. You know, I mentioned before on a previous painting that I have a model that I use specifically for the hands. The hands on the model I use for Jesus are actually quite small. In fact, I talked to him once about it, and he was kind of embarrassed about it. You know, oh, yeah, my mom says my hands were small. But the hands on the model that I use for the hand is just a blue-collar, big, masculine, angular hands. I actually posed the hand model for the figure of Jesus here, and the fashion model that I hire for Jesus posed for his face.
So you have different models for the hands and the face of Christ.
Yes, yes.
The hands of Jesus are so strong, and to have that sense that the hands of Christ are reaching out for that lamb.
Yes.
Now, there is not a great distance between the hand and the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Is that intentional?
Oh, yes. I mean, I want it to be that moment, you know, that pause right before he grabs that lamb and pulls him out of the briars that he's stuck in.
You may feel that the cavern in your own life is quite deep. You may feel that you are isolated and alone like that lamb, crying out. You may feel that you're quite hopeless, yet the hand of Christ is strong and the heart of Christ is large. And Jesus comes to where you are. He reaches you in the brambles of life. He reaches you in the bushes and briars of life. And he speaks to you. You know, in the picture, the sky is not dark, the sky is blue. And when that little lamb looks up, he sees the blue sky in his lostness. There's hope for you. Stay with us after the break. I'm going to talk about shepherds, flocks, sheep. I'm going to talk about hope. You may feel like the so-called proverbial black sheep of the family, but let me assure you, whatever the failures, disappointments, or discouragements of your past life, no matter how far you've drifted from God, there's hope for you. That's what this painting, the rescue is all about. That's really the main theme of the painting, the rescue of the black sheep that's drifted away but who hears the shepherd's voice. Yes. Talking about shepherd's voices, you have you've been brought up with a wife whose father
yes.
raises these Suffolk sheep.
Yes.
What's a shepherd like?
Well, my father-in-law is a quiet man, a humble man, and but he has a good bond with his sheep. I mean, he will tell you interesting stories about what sheep are really like. He gets a little resentful when people say sheep are stupid because I think he knows them well enough to know that there are certain things about them that they aren't that dumb, but they do follow each other. They flock together. If one lamb takes off, they all follow. I have seen occasions on his farm where a lamb gets separated from the others, and they get rather frantic to get back to where they need to be. You know, they're a herd type of species, so they like to stick together for protection.
I had a rather amazing experience regarding sheep. I was shooting a television program with It Is Written Television a number of years ago out at Laodicea. We were doing a series on the biblical city of Laodicea. And right during the afternoon of the shoot, it began to rain. Mm-hmm. And so we huddled under an old Roman aqueduct. And as I was sitting there, I heard footsteps. And a man ran up into that aqueduct. And he had quite a body odor, we'll put it that way. And I discovered that he was an Eastern shepherd. Mm-hmm. He had shepherded his flock on that piece of property mm-hmm. for 20 years. And as we sat under the aqueduct in the rain, and I had, of course, with me a Turkish translator, we talked to the shepherd. There were just the three of us huddled under in the rain. It was a rainy day, and he had come to get some shelter. And I said to him, "What's the most horrendous experience you've ever had here?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "You know, Mark, I one time I had to kill a snake that was going to bite one of my sheep. Another time, some thieves came to steal the sheep, and I got hit right in the forehead with a rock. I had to go to the hospital because of it." Mm-hmm. I saw this man's passion for his sheep. He would do anything to rescue them.
Yes.
You've communicated that in Christ here. Tell me the features of Christ, Nathan, in this particular painting that illustrate the rescue.
Well, you know, the biblical reference would be in the Gospels where Jesus tells the parable of the 99 sheep and the one that was lost, and how the shepherd leaves that 99 in the fold and goes and looks for the one lost sheep until he finds it. And if he has to rescue it, he rescues it. And it actually says he puts it on his shoulders and carries him home. And this is a symbol of God's relationship to us and how much he loves us. And, you know, if someone has wandered away from him, I think one of the devil's greatest lies is that once you've wandered away from God, you can't come back. He won't accept you. Well, it's just not true. This parable answers that lie.
One of the books that I've read about the Middle East that really has impressed me a great deal is a book called The People in the Land by George Adam Smith. Mm-hmm. And George Adam Smith traveled to Israel on numerous occasions. He has spent his life studying the history of Israel. And in his book, he says, the shepherd of Israel is one of the most renowned figures in all of the life of the Israelis. And one of the reasons for that is that there was an unwritten law among shepherds. If a sheep was lost, they would either have to bring the sheep back alive mm-hmm. or dead. They could never come back empty-handed without the sheep, because that would indicate that they did not have the care or the passion to find the sheep. They'd either have to bring the sheep back alive or bring its body back dead to indicate to that community of shepherds that they had such a care for it.
Yes.
I think of God revealed in this particular painting through Jesus reaching out to us in rescue. How is this picture of Jesus a little different than some of the others you've painted?
Well, you know, aside from the fact that it's a watercolor rather than an oil painting, many of the other depictions I've done emphasize really the facial expression of Jesus more, like the ones, the night watch, Jesus at the bedside of the boy, or I am with you always at the bedside of the girl, the love, the compassion. Not that it's not here, but in this painting, it's more the body position, the reaching to the utmost length limits to reach and rescue this lamb. That's what I was trying to capture in this painting.
I notice here that the great emphasis on this stretch of Christ.
Yes.
That he is stretching to reach you. That
yes.
he is stretching out to reach that lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way Jesus is.
Yes.
He goes the extra mile.
Absolutely.
I'm impressed when I read through the totality of Scripture. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, it was God that reached out to them. When Israel disobeyed God in the wilderness, it was God that came to them, ultimately in the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and God met them where they were at. Israel turned its back on God in great rebellion, but God kept meeting them where they were at.
Yes.
When Jesus was here on earth, he met the woman at the well where she was at.
Mm-hmm.
He met Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night, and Jesus met him there, talked to Nicodemus about the experience of his life. Jesus constantly reached out to people, listened to their needs, listened to their heartaches, listened to their grief. The demoniac, when you really think of this demoniac, Jesus reached out to him where he was. And these great parables in the Bible about the lost sheep
yeah.
are parables about Jesus mm-hmm. reaching out where he is to those where they're at.
Yes.
And Jesus always begins where we are. Somebody said yeah. the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step.
Yeah.
I don't know where you are in your spiritual experience. I don't know what's troubling you. You may feel you're too far from Christ, but yet Jesus reaches out to you where you are. Wherever you are today in that religious experience, it's no accident that you have tuned in to the Hope Channel. It's no accident that you've tuned into this program. Jesus sees you where you are. He knows the brokenness of your life. You may say, I've just gone through the trauma of a divorce. You may say, I've gotten involved in alcohol. I've tried to drown my troubles. You may say, I am so far sinking in debt that I can't survive. You may say, I once knew Christ, but I've drifted away from him, far, far away. You may be able to identify with that black lamb. That black lamb may tell your story. But you may have a question. You may say, I really don't know my way back. And I'm kind of like that black lamb with Jesus out of the picture. I'm just there and I've fallen over the cliff. I'm about ready to go down into the cavern. I don't see Jesus there. I can't see his face. I don't feel his hand. I don't sense his touch. If that's your feeling, you stay with us. Because right after the break, I'm going to come back and talk to you about the Christ that's reaching out to you that you may not yet see. The Christ that is looking for you that you may not have yet experienced. Right after the break, we're going to talk about how you can reach out and grasp his hand. There's hope for you right now. Nathan's painting, The Rescue, focuses really on a parable that Jesus told in Luke the 15th chapter. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus describes the value of every human being, and he says, verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now, there are three things about God in those passages. Three things about God's love. Verse 4, the Bible says he goes after the one that is lost. God's love pursues. God is not content for one of his children to be lost. The scripture says that it is his will for all men and women to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's love is a pursuing love. However far you've drifted from God, God's love is still reaching out to you. C.S. Lewis, famous Christian writer, talked about God's love as that God was the hound of heaven. He'll keep hounding you and hounding you and hounding you. You're too valuable to him for him to give you up. When you're running away from him, you run right around the corner into him. And you say, are you still there? And he says, yes, I am. I love you too much to leave you alone. The second thing the Bible says about God's love is not only is it a pursuing love, it's a persevering love. It says he goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. God is going to pursue you perseveringly until he finds you. He is not willing for you to be lost. And the third thing about God's love here is God's love pursues, God's love perseveres, God's love parties. Here we have it. Verse 5, when he has found it, that's the sheep that was lost, he lays it on his shoulder rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who have no need of repentance. And God's love parties. God rejoices when men and women, boys and girls, have drifted away from him like the black sheep in the painting, come back to him. When the rescue is complete, when God leads us back to his heart and his love, he parties. All heaven rejoices. Now, you may not feel like it today. You may not understand what's going on in your life today. You may feel very distant from God. But I want you to picture him reaching out to you right now. I want you to picture that strong arm grasping your hand. I want you to sense the gentleness of his voice when he says to you right now, my child, don't fear, I'm going to take you home. I want you to picture in your mind the tenderness in his eyes, the kindness on his face. He's not condemning you because you've drifted away. The issue is not what you have done wrong. The issue is not all of the rebellion of your past. The issue right now is that he loves you and that he wants you home. He's concerned about you. He's got a compassion for you. Many years ago, a young rebel, black sheep of the family, brought up in a Christian home, left all the values of his home, went out and lived a very profligate life. Like the prodigal son a little later in Luke chapter 15, this young man said, Mom, Dad, I want nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with the heritage that you've brought me up in. I don't believe the Bible or Jesus or any of that stuff. And the young man left, went out and lived a very secular, godless lifestyle. But there was a day that there was an emptiness in his heart. There was a day that there was a longing for home and for family, a longing to know God. He had said some pretty cutting things about his parents. He had said some pretty hurtful things about Dad particularly. But there, alone in a distant city, he came to Jesus. And he wrote a letter to his dad, and he said, Dad, I don't know if you ever could forgive me or not, but I really want to come home. And this young man, that was many years ago, bought a train ticket, and he said, Dad, if you will forgive me, please hang a white handkerchief on the tree in the backyard. The train tracks will pass by that. The train will pass by it. And if I see that white handkerchief, I will know that I'm forgiven. As the train came around the bend, the boy strained his eyes, and he saw not a white handkerchief, but he saw white towels and sheets hanging off that tree. He knew that he was welcome to home. You're welcome to home, friend. As a black sheep, you are welcome to home. Why don't say thank you, Jesus? I want to come home as we pray. Father, thank you so much that you welcome us home. Thank you so much that you reach out for us.